Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Hello, everyone. I think this is the third in the series of podcasts, and actually the subject that triggered the idea of having these podcasts, a subject that took me a long time to get to. The subject is protection, how to protect ourselves from the evil of the seen and unseen worlds. Now, I have to say, as raised as a Westerner, I was raised as a liberal secularist, and liberal secularists, or progressives, or whatever you want to call them, don't really believe in evil. We were taught that evil is just good that's covered up, and as soon as you get over the cover, the veil, then you're into good. No one is bad, essentially. Shaitan, of course, doesn't exist. That's just a horrible superstition of the ignorant masses. And if anyone's bad, it's most likely because they had a bad childhood and their parents mistreated them or abused them, but essentially they're good. Now, that's a very optimistic, unrealistic point of view that is held by many. Especially in some intellectual communities. Read Steven Pinker. If you want to know what I mean, the better angels of our nature. But all the religions teach us the contrary. Not only Islam, but Christianity and Judaism and even Buddhism and Hinduism have their evil spirits. So all religious traditions acknowledge the presence of evil. Every religious tradition outside of secularism and the age of rationality recognized this, but it took me a long, long road to get there. Why is this important? I mean, I think this is obvious, but we all, even if we have this rose-colored lenses kind of viewpoint, we all run into evil in our lives on one level or another, and then we have to cope with it. For most people, this kind of evil that they run into is with other human beings. So, for example, they're at work and there's a coworker who is very self-centered and never considers what her or his coworkers are needing or doing and just takes care of themselves, or there's an ambitious person at work trying to get to our position and maneuvering and strategizing and playing dirty tricks, or there's an envious person in our environment who does everything they can to discredit us and to dismiss what we're doing, often behind our backs. And so most of us encounter this form of evil in dealing with human beings. On the other hand, there is also invisible forms of evil. And it took my psychiatric practice for me to understand, to even believe in this. I'd have listened to these patients telling me stories. For example, one of the stories is a young lady, actually she's passed on as far as I know by now, but in her adolescence she was playing with Ouija boards. Now, in my days, everyone thought this was cute and fun, and there was nothing serious about it, but actually Ouija boards can get you in contact with negative occult spirits. So she was playing with her friends, and she happens to be a bit psychic herself, and at some point they contacted spirits, and there was a man that lived in their neighborhood that they didn't like, and so they got these negative spirits to set upon him, and he got some horrible illness, and they all thought this was funny. I don't know what happened to the man. Hopefully he recovered from that illness, but she didn't recover from her practice. And after that, she herself was visited by these negative spirits that she had evoked, and she didn't know how to get rid of them. Eventually, they got more and more insistent to the point that they pushed her into one or two suicide attempts. It got that bad because they had gotten inside her. So these are evil occult forces. Now, if you ask probably the average psychiatrist, they'll say this is all delusional material, hallucinations, fabricated by the mind of the patient, but I think any believing person can see through that narrative, that explanation, that it's not correct. There are evil spirits out there. So once one realizes that, one has to take that into account as well. Another clinical story here. This was a client who came to see me again because of these evil spirits. And the way she had gotten in touch with them was by going to see a psychic or a medium, because she wanted to be in touch with her father, who had died before they had a chance to resolve their issues. So she went to the psychic medium, who told her she could get in touch with her father. It seemed to be the case. And she began the discussion. But then this opened the portal. This opened the door to the occult world, and the evil spirits started coming to her, bothering her, preventing her from thinking clearly, making her anxious, preventing her from sleeping, etc. So these are only a couple of cases that I've had over the years, and there are many, many more. Now, many Muslims believe in these realities, as do some of the Mediterranean people, like the Italians. A lot of people in my world didn't. But often I would get consults from Muslim families about usually their sons, could be the daughter, but it was their sons, and they say that my son is possessed. So I say, okay, send him to me. Every single one of those cases was schizophrenia, to the point where I got to make almost a joke about it. It's not really funny, but I'd say I'm sitting at home and the telephone rings. These are in the days when telephones rang rather than chimed or played songs or whatever. And there would be a Pakistani man at the other end of the line saying, Dr. Ibrahim, I want to speak to you about my son. And I would say, without any further questions, it's schizophrenia. And for several years, I was right every time. When it finally turned out that it was just depression, I knew I had to change my protocol. But almost all, so all these cases of possession were actually cases of psychosis. But I have seen cases of possession. At the end of my career, I saw one in therapy that I had to refer to a sort of Islamic exorcist. These are people who do something called ruqiyya. And we've all seen it if we went to the movies to see The Exorcist. These are realities, and we have to take them into account. And perhaps even more important than these psychic realities are the effects that shaitan, and the Quran teaches us that he's adu mubin. He's a clear-cut enemy, influences us through thoughts. Now, as people know, and I've had a recent contact with this issue of the nowadays we hear everywhere the issue of child sexual abuse. We hear it in the Catholic Church. We heard it in the gymnasts in America. We heard it with Jerry Sandusky and the Pennsylvania Penn State football team. There's a lot of sexual abuse of children, unfortunately, around. And if we were really, and everyone is very, you know, happy and satisfied to condemn it, but really, that's not necessarily the most helpful thing, although we do have to act. And we have to understand that there is a basis for it, and the basis is the influence of shaitan. And the influence of shaitan is he or his associates will whisper in your ear, but actually in your mind, wrong things to be doing. And if you don't know how to resist that, or you're very weak in your ego, in your value system, in your morality, if you're very weak, you will act on the incitements of shaitan. Now, this talk really started by a situation where I felt, I don't want to go into all the details of it, it's not really pertinent, that I myself needed some protection and started looking for dua of protection. And the best one I found, now there's a number of ways, okay, so now we're getting to the treatment aspect. There's a number of practices that we can use in order to protect ourselves from the evil, whether it's of man or whether it's of shaitan or whether it's of agents of shaitan. There are a number of ways we can protect ourselves. Okay? The simplest way, and I've actually used this to good effect in my practice, like that lady who was contacting her father on the other side, had a very good result just using the name of God as the protector. Ya Hafiz is the name. And I would give it even to non-Muslims to say 100 times before they went to bed. Ya Hafiz, Ya Hafiz, Ya Hafiz, Ya Hafiz. As one form of protection. And I've had good effects with a couple of non-Muslim patients using that Arabic name for God. Another thing that the Muslims are accustomed to do, many begin their prayer, their recitation with A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. I seek refuge in Allah from the shaitan, the cursed. And you can recite that one 3 times, 11 times, 33 times, 100 times, different Islamic formulas. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim is very good. Also, there are two surahs of refuge at the end of the Quran. One is Surat al-Nas, the other is Surat al-Falaq, and you can recite those 3 times, 11 times, 33 times, 100 times, as many as you like, for protection. But the one I discovered recently, and it's a little bit of an extension of one that the Muslims use commonly in their dua, says the following. A'udhu bi kalimatillahi tamati min ghadabihi wa ikabihi wa shara libadihi wa min hamazat al shayateen wa an yakhdurun. Okay, what will break this down? We'll parse it. A'udhu bi kalimat lillahi tamati means I seek refuge in the perfect words of my Lord. In the perfect words of my Lord. Okay, so most commonly this means in recitations of Quranic ayat. A'udhu bi kalimatillahi tamati. The complete and perfect wisdom of my Lord. I seek refuge in his words, in the Quran. Min ghadabihi, from Allah's anger. It's another thing that liberals are not allowed to conceive of, but that Allah has anger. It's not like our anger, but there are consequences to our behavior. The Buddhists call this karma. Okay, wa ikabihi, and his punishment. And yes, there is punishment. People don't like that, especially Catholics who were promised all kinds of punishment in their previous Catholic lives. They don't like the idea of punishment, but there is punishment from Allah, but this punishment comes from mercy, and it has the effect of cleansing their souls. So it's not a bad thing, it's actually a good thing. Washara libadihi. This is the big one. And so I'm seeking protection from the evil of his servants, i.e. people. Okay, and I can say, I think with a fair degree of confidence, that most of my listeners have come in contact with the evil of people on one level or another, whether it's their anger, their selfishness, their envy, their jealousy. We've all had to deal with that. So you're seeking here refuge from the evil of people. And there's plenty of that to go around. Wa min hamazat al-shayatina. Now this is something more subtle. Hamazat means the urgings, the promptings of the shayateen, of the smaller shaitans or shaitan himself. And this comes about via your mind. Shaitan speaks to your mind, speaks to your nafs, your ego. And often the ego is convinced by this because it happens in its own mind. Remember a saying that I love to quote from an American mystic named Byron Katie, who says, all your problems come from the same place. You believe the contents of your own mind. and the contents of your own mind are actually largely not in your control, despite what psychologists might think, and there are all kinds of other forces impinging on your mind, and some of them are evil forces and some of them are shaitanic forces. So you need protection from the hamazat al-shayateen, from the promptings, the urgings, the whisperings of shaitan in your mind. Wa'an yakhdurun, and their presences. These are the stories that I've been recounting you, where the evil spirits are present. Sometimes I've had a couple of ladies who saw them on the foot of their bed as they were going to sleep, these evil spirits. We call them jinn in Islam. We need protection, especially from the evil, non-believing jinn. So, bottom line here is there is evil in the world and in the other world. We need to be aware of it. We need to protect ourselves from it. And we need to improve ourselves, because the stronger we are in our practice, in our iman, in our ikama, the more solid we are in our faith, the less susceptible we are to these forces. But they keep trying. Abdul Qadir Jilani, one of the great Sufis of all times, someone came to him, I'm not sure if it was the visible or invisible world, and said, "Oh, Abdul Qadir, you are the greatest Sufi, you are the greatest of the Salihin, everything you say is true, people should throw themselves at your feet, oh, Abdul Qadir." And he immediately recognized this as the shaitan and said, "A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim," and the shaitan ran away, because it can't stand being in the presence of holy recitations. So we're all susceptible, no matter what the level of our beings, we're all susceptible to these evil forces. We have to protect ourselves from it, and we have to do our best to stay this way in the Sirat al-Mustaqim. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun, wa salamun ala mursalin, walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Question? No questions. Okay. Eventually, perhaps we'll be able to stream this in a way that people could put in their questions. Amin, amin, ya Rabbil Alameen. Next week, before we finish, next week we'll be talking about the various types of knowledge that people need to have a more complete understanding of what's going on in their lives. Al-Fatiha.